Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Hey guys, it's Jack from Jackie Road Studios podcast, the podcast you're listening to right now. I'm not going to start again, even though I hate what I just did. This is the show where I sit down with a guest and then I use something from the interview to inspire a new song that I write and record that you'll hear at the end of the episode. There's one on this episode. I really actually loved doing this one. Stick around to the very end to hear this week's song. And this week's guest is Liam Stapleton from Ben and Liam. Before I get into Liam, I must acknowledge very exciting news this week. Only 2 days ago, guess what arrived in my pigeonhole, aka out my front door because it's too big to fit through the mailbox. The Yamaha Revstar RS720B. What? It's awesome. And I am trying to keep it in its brand new state for when one of you guys wins it at the end of the first series of Jackie Road Studios. But I will flag this. I have played it a couple of times, and I intend to play it a couple more. I will be safe with your guitar. Please, you can trust me. I'm just tuning it up, making sure it works, making sure it's not too fast, which is a problem with some Yamaha guitars, world's fastest guitars. Hey, and can I say, guys, more of you have to come to my aid on Instagram, especially. It's where I do all my dealings on social media. If you see me talking about a Yamaha and you see people commenting on it, as we said last week's episode, trying to be funny, doing jokes about the guitar being slow, more of you guys got to jump in on the same post and comment, hey, that looks like a super fast guitar. Oh my God, that's so fast, that sort of thing. I did get a few of them. The people who did say something about the guitars being fast, you're in my little notebook. And for now, while I'm still working out how to give away the guitar at the end of the series, I'm just keeping some names in my little black book, people who have contributed to the show, people whose emails have got read out on the show, and people who are supporting on my Instagram, Yamaha Guitars, for being fast. Now, people also accuse me of taking a big payday for this Yamaha sponsorship. This is nothing for me. I get nothing. There is no kickback except for the joy that I will get delivering it to one of you at the end of this series and seeing your smiling face as you strum away on your brand new guitar. Yes, I'm a giver and I get joy from giving. Sue me. But there is no sponsorship dollars attached. So, for the meantime, if you want to enter in the competition to win the guitar, I haven't made it official yet. There's going to be some sort of raffle system if your emails get read on the show or if you cover any songs on the show, stuff like that. But on next week's episode, I'm going to finalize the details of the competition. Let me read one email. I'm getting to Liam. But let me read one email that relates to last week's song, the British India song, which was inspired by Matty O'Gorman, the drummer of British India, because he told us, essentially, they used to tour the country and force their support bands to give up their instruments so that British India could play with them. This is from Jordan. Hello, Jack. Just got into the podcast. Loving it so far. Thank you, Jordan. The British India song really hit close to home for me. My older sister saw them one night in Ferntree Gully. I never asked her the story, but the next morning when I woke up and went out to the lounge room at my parents' house, lead singer Declan was sleeping on the couch. Sound familiar?
British India would like to stay at your house. They try to book a hotel, but they're all booked out. Couldn't you make up a bed on the couch?
Please encourage, if you know anybody who's ever supported British India, please reach out to them and make sure they're okay. Share the song with them. There's stories like this all over the country of British India taking advantage. And if you want your story reflected on the show, jackieroadstudios@gmail.com. Liam Stapleton is my guest today. Liam, of course, is one half of Ben and Liam, famously from the Triple J Breakfast Show, which ran all across the country for the last 3 years. And at the start of this year, Ben and Liam left Triple J to go and host the Breakfast Show on Nova in their hometown of Adelaide. I love talking to Liam. He's still a young guy. He's only 24. He's had a long career, but I tell you, it's because they worked really hard. They worked really hard in community radio for years before they got the Triple J gig. They worked really hard at Triple J. And now at Nova, I can see just from their social pages or from the Ben and Liam podcast that those guys are working hard and they have a real passion for radio. And that's what makes them great broadcasters. So I was really chuffed to link up with Liam in his studio in Adelaide. I am at home, not in the real Jackie Rhodes studio, sadly. For want of not telling you a long story, I'm out of my house for a few months. So Jackie Rhodes Studios is on the road. As many of the best recording studios always do, they don't just stay in one spot. They move around. They keep nimble. That's what Jackie Rhodes is doing at the moment. I'm in my place in Jackie Road, hooking up with Liam in his studio in Nova in Adelaide. And I asked Liam to suggest an intro song for himself. He chose an absolute classic. This is the Beatles, I Am the Walrus.
Grab a lock of fishwife, pornographic priestess. Boy, you've been a naughty girl, you let your knickers down. I am the Eggman.
Liam Stapleton joins me in this episode of Jackie Rhodes Studios. That is the Beatles. I am the Walrus. Liam, how are you?
I'm good, Jackie, from Jackie Rhodes Studios. Thank you so much for having me on.
Let's be honest, we're not in the same room.
We're not.
Thought it was actually, during this lockdown period, I thought it was a good chance to reach out to people who aren't in Melbourne anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to do the next few interviews remotely either way.
Well, you say few. I mean, you could be looking at a long remote run for the podcast if you're in Victoria at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't. We don't have to get bogged down in coronavirus, but what's the outside view of Melbourne at the moment?
Oh, well, the thing is, yeah, I mean, because, I mean, I've lived in Adelaide my whole life. Well, apart from 3 years in Sydney, but, you know, we're a bit the laughing stock. Everyone rips into us. But Dan Andrews had a big old slice of humble pie, didn't he? I'm hoping he feels all bilious from that, because as soon as he said, why would you want to go to South Australia? Things have been going downhill in Vic pretty much since that comment.
I don't think he ever reneged on that, though.
No, he stands
even
by.
We're obviously in the worst city at the moment.
And some people...
He never came out and said, oh, I apologise to South Australia.
Unfortunately, most people in Melbourne would still be going, yeah, well, I'd rather be here than South Australia. I'd rather be in my own house in Melbourne.
Not locked indoors is better than Adelaide.
I know. Hey, I know.
Let's come back to Adelaide, because I actually lived in Adelaide for a bit. But let's start with the song, I Am the Walrus by the Beatles. What made you choose that?
A song that I love, yeah. Probably the first song I fell in love with from the Beatles. I also thought it was pretty appropriate because, I mean, I don't know if many people have noticed this, but there's a bit of a connection between the artwork for Jackie Rhodes Studios and, of course, the famous Abbey Road album cover. Have you got copyright for that?
That's not just a lazy way of like... You hardly did any research on what the podcast was about. It's like, I guess he loves the Beatles.
This is a Beatles podcast, right?
With the Beatles song.
Is it like a Beatles podcast with a bit about dog shit as well? Like stepping in dog shit? Or, yeah, I don't know. No, I thought, I was like, oh, well, clearly he might be a fan as well. I am a big fan. And this particular song was the first one that I really fell in love with. In fact, if you are a Beatles fan, I want to tell you about my latest purchase. I don't know if you've seen this one online. Have you seen the vinyl box set?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. I've had my eye on it for years. So it's like over a grand, right? But I found a secondhand one.
Ooh.
I found a secondhand one. But we're talking every album on a 180-gram vinyl. They're heavy. In your hands. You own the music. It comes with like a limited edition book with big, nice pictures of the guys. And yeah, it's heavy. It's like almost 15 kilos because there's 16 albums in it. It's got Past Masters and all the like original albums. And yeah, I only got it last week. We had some holidays and I've just been chilling out in the beanbag, just going through the entire sort of Beatles universe. So I'm obsessed.
Yeah. So what's your setup like at home? Because Christian O'Connell, who I do the breakfast show with in Melbourne, he's a big vinyl guy as well.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's just kitted out this spare room
with
like spending way too much money on the speakers
wicked.
And like even getting
down to the nitty-gritty on the cables that run from the speakers back into the vinyl player and that sort of thing. Are you taking it that seriously?
No, I mean, I was at a mate's house the other day and he has like this awesome setup. He's just spent money on these like new kind of speakers. They look, they are new, but they look like something from the 70s, like kind of wooden with the Hessian sort of covers on the speaker, and they were like $3,000 or $4,000 or something. And then he takes it really seriously, and then he had a woofer from the 80s and all these different eras combining, and it was so loud and so great. But he still, you know, lives in like a 2-bedroom apartment, so I just felt awkward. Like, he was like, check it out, see how loud it goes, and my ears sort of started bleeding. I was like, I just felt awkward for the neighbors, if anything, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you had a big house in the country, you know, rolling hills, and you could play your music as loud as you wanted, then I would have a setup like that. But for me, my neighbor's a lovely guy, but we, you know, we're only a wall away, so I've just got the little Bose speaker slapped into a $200 vinyl player from JB Hi-Fi. So, not the best setup.
So, then it doesn't really matter about the 180 grams or, like, the quality. I don't know much about vinyl, but...
Well, I'm just sort of starting, to be honest. There's this app called Discogs, and you can, like, log your collection on it. So, you can... For the newer records, you can scan your barcode, and for the older ones, you have to, like, put in this sort of code. And I actually snagged some of my dad's old records, and it's funny how addictive that becomes when you can sort of see the value of each of your records and what sort of edition you've got.
It's got a value, like, market rate.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know,
it's kind of like an adult Pokemon card.
Pretty much. It's adult Pokemon cards. Yeah, and it's an expensive habit. It really is. And you kind of also think, well, this is all pointless because I've just got it on my phone. Like, everyone, you know, if you've got Spotify, you can listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. But I think it's something like, especially for the Beatles, for me, like, owning music in your hands, like the albums that you really, really love. There's something special about that.
So you white gloves and everything, like Christine, take it out of the packet and put it back in the same way?
Yeah, I don't have the gloves quite yet, but I have just ordered like 200 clear sleeves, like so sleeves for the sleeves to protect them a little bit more.
The sleeve it comes with?
Well, no, it's fine. I just feel like double sleeving, you know, you can never be too careful with these sorts of things.
Man, it sounds like you got too much money at the new job.
Here's the deal. I've worked in community radio, gone to work in government radio, and this is my first 7 months in the commercial scene. You know it well, and I'm splashing. I want my 180 gram records that I've been waiting for.
So what I loved about the Beatles as well is getting into other bands, and the bands I loved when I was a teenager, like Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, yes, Green Day, how heavily influenced these bands were by the Beatles. You can essentially trace back every band to the Beatles.
I know, right? Yeah, and then you can trace the Beatles back to Elvis and then back from there. But I know, like, John Lennon was like a big Elvis guy, but apparently they didn't really like him. They thought he was a bit of a dick when they met him, supposedly. That was just one of my little books.
I even hate these rumors about John and Paul didn't get along. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, I know. No, you definitely don't. But, I mean, it checks out, right? I mean, they broke up. They weren't, before John died, there was, you know, there's like 10 years there where they didn't do anything together. But,
You don't know they're not still mates.
Well, that's true.
Just they're not making music.
Yeah, they could still be playing FIFA on the weekends or whatever. FIFA 76. I don't know if it was around back then. Yeah, I mean, I love that too. I'm also a big Nirvana guy. I've got actually a little tattoo of Kurt Cobain, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah, on my toe. It's Kurt Tobain, which sounds like a joke, but I do actually have it. And then on my other foot, I've got David.
It doesn't say Kurt Tobain though, does it?
No, it's like a little picture of Kurt Cobain's face on my toe. And then on the other toe.
Will that stay? Because I know if you get tattoos on the inside of your fingers, my sister-in-law has one and it's already wearing away.
Oh, no, they look really bad.
After a couple of years.
They look really bad. In fact, when anyone like asks to see them, I'm like, oh, I'll just get a photo up on my phone because I can't be stuffed taking my shoes off, because they looked really good when they were done and they look terrible now.
But I've also got... turning into like Kurt Cobain before the shotgun, Kurt Cobain after the shotgun.
I've got David Towie as well. So he was my first.
That's awesome. So yeah, they big toes on the top.
Yeah, big toes on the top. And I always get, like, whenever someone's hot for a week, like Joe Exotic, someone will send me, like, a handful of people will slide into the DMs and be like, oh, Toe Exotic, what about Toe Exotic? But, like, I can't really, because the other toes get smaller and smaller, it'll be harder and harder.
So, like, that's a rank. So, like, Bowie and Cobain, I think, are two great pillars of the foot.
Yeah.
And then you can go down to your, like, Joe Exotics, who are on the spur of the moment. Oh, remember 2020 on Pinky?
And that's the thing, I think, with the toes, like, bit of a safe bet in the sense that they're great musicians, deceased. They're not going to be cancelled anytime soon. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I was actually having a conversation with somebody about Bowie. They said that he should have been cancelled because he had 14 and 15 year old girlfriends.
No, I have
in a mutual relationship, but still, even though it's consensual, it's a little bit young, don't you?
Think? Yeah, it's against the law, is what it is. But yeah, I mean, you
can
hear
get
those stories.
Posthumously cancelled now, I think.
Yeah, have you like read those stories about Led Zeppelin?
Oh no! See, you now want to know less about like people that you idolize.
That's it.
You don't want to know.
And I know, but I was leading into that, like I was going to tell you the story, but I 100% would not say that, especially on a podcast. No. You can look it up yourself, but like,
is it that bad?
Oh yeah, there's some gnarly stuff, and some of it might just be like rock and roll folklore, but it's probably true, isn't it?
And talking about tattoos, I know you've got the Liverpool one that you went at early on.
Yes, yeah.
On your arm. And then I saw that Ben was like fixing it up. He was tattooing the second part of it just recently.
Yeah.
He did a really good job.
He actually didn't do too bad. I mean, he did a better job than I thought he would, but he didn't do as good of a job as if I just went to a tattoo artist and got it all fixed up. But do you know what the thing is? The magic thing is as well with radio. I really don't feel like that even made a splash this week. Like, by far the biggest thing we did was just this spare of the moment idea we had about going through a drive through and testing this McDonald's ad. But isn't that the thing with radio? You're like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll scar my body for life and maybe, just maybe, that'll make a bit of noise. And then you're like, oh, geez, this one's really not really connecting with many people, is it?
Man, I tell you, last week, someone sent me an article where the headline was podcast news, and then it had three different stories of something about a producer called Nick McClure. I forget who the other one was.
Nick McClure,
and then it said Jack Post at the end. I was like, awesome. Like, someone's written about the podcast.
Yeah.
It was a story, a complete non-story about how I had a nose surgery over the holidays and that I came back a little sick from recovering from the nose surgery poorly.
I love that.
And they never write articles about me. Now if people Google me, this is the only thing they'll see. And if I die tomorrow, this would be my legacy. Like,
that's
you had that nose surgery.
What did you have out of interest?
Oh, I had a deviated septum.
Dude, I got the same
thing. Yeah. You know what? I thought I was special before it. Apparently 75% of people have deviated
septums. So more people are deviated than not. Well, I didn't have the operation because both of us will work on, audio-based mediums. So you really got to think about it. You go, is this going to change my voice enough for people to not recognize it anymore?
That's the risk. That's what he said. He said this. Some people come out the other side of this, and because, I don't know, it opens their airways up more, or like opens the inside of your nose up, your voice can change.
You might end up sounding like Kamal or something.
I'm actually still sort of recovering from it now. I'm still a little bit congested in the nose.
Yeah.
But with all possibilities, as it opens up, I could become lower or I could become higher. I don't know.
I know you're hoping for the first one, for sure. Like, no one wants to be higher. No one wants to get a higher, squeakier voice.
I asked him earnestly if it would make my singing voice better.
Oh, really? He was like, no operation will ever.
Yeah, you'll come out like Michael Bublé. That's what happened to the last guy.
Come hopefully fly with me. Well. Come fly away.
But the reason I mentioned the tattoo is because a couple of years ago, Andy and I tattooed Hamish, a little drumstick each on Hamish. For Cool Boys in the Frontman, the band that we were in.
Yeah.
And we did a terrible job. Like, it looked like a snake. Not even, that's generous. It just looked like a bunch of lines curving over each other. But what Ben wrote on you, what did he write? Season 1920?
The original tattoo was Liverpool Champions 19. Liverpool FC Champions 19, and he did a slash 20 and wrote season underneath it, therefore making it correct.
Yeah, right, because you preempted the first one.
I got a little confident and called too early, ended up becoming runners-up, 1 point, only 1 point away, so real pain.
And then how did you become so obsessed with it? You grew up full-time in Australia, didn't you?
Full-time Australia, yeah. full-time Australia, part-time Papua New Guinea. I used to pop over there for a couple of hours. I had to work two countries, had three kids, had to put food on the table.
That's modern times, man. Nowadays, people aren't just a one-country human anymore.
That's it. My dad's British. And then my grandparents are Irish. And, I suppose it was just the sport of choice. I mean, my mum's side's, they're all born in Australia and, very footy heavy. But then dad kind of won out when it came to choosing sport, probably because, a little bit less violent, maybe. I don't know. And, I sort of fell in love with it. That was actually my original dream, to be a Premier League goalkeeper. That's what I wanted to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so how good were your goalkeeper skills?
Not great, really. I mean, but I made a state team, and my claim to fame is I trained over in the UK for a little bit in 2010. And
part-time UK.
Yeah, part-time. So there you go. That's another country. That was my summer job, UK. So sort of after that, I sort of lost the love for it, which was really weird. And then I was kind of playing back here, and I also started in community radio. And then I kind of made the decision when I was maybe 16, 17, that I actually really enjoy this radio thing a lot more. And to be fair, I think I've probably had more success than I ever would have playing professionally.
Slim chances to play the world game.
That's it.
Literally kids from all over.
I know, right? Don't you still kick yourself in radio? You're like, everyone thinks it's an awesome job. That's because it is. But no one actually gives it a crack, right? Like, everyone wants to play cricket for Australia. But, I'm sure they would love to do a drive show as well. But not many people give it a crack.
No, that's so true. There's not little leagues versions of radio. No one's really trying to.
I know. The people don't know how little this took us to have our own podcasts and things. It's just, you just give it a crack and then one thing leads to another.
Let's talk about Triple J, because, I mean, you were very young when you first got your breakout role, where you were nationwide breakfast show across the country on Triple J. And I mean, those guys love music, Triple J, in their slogan.
That's
their
slogan.
I feel like I love music, but even I feel like I don't love it as much as people on Triple J love.
Oh, no,
did
fully.
You have to do more loving of music to fit in?
I did. I really love music. I think Ben more so. I really love music. There was a few bands like Kasabian. They were one of my all-time faves as well. The Beatles kind of bled into Oasis, Kasabian, similar vibe. Yep. Yeah, so stuff like that I was really into. I liked Violent Soho, Gang of Youths, bigger Australian bands as well. But coming over, there's a hell of a lot that you don't know, and you need to, quickly need to learn, who was in the Hot 100 in the early 90s and 80s and that sort of stuff, and get up to speed pretty quick. So there was a bit of a learning curve, but it was also cool because it's rare that you work for a radio station where even one out of 10 songs you actually that's on my playlist. I frothed that one, that's pretty lucky to have that. Yeah.
And in terms of I did my first true musician interview on Jackie Road Studios last episode with Matty O'Gorman, the drummer of British India.
Yeah.
And I wanted to move into doing more bands as well as other entertainers. But when I was on community radio on Sin FM, we would get, obviously not the caliber of bands that were going through Triple J, but you get bands that are taking themselves way too seriously, in with sunglasses on, and then answer every question that's pretty much how it was.
We've had a few shockers. For the most part, though, I mean, everyone's legends, and especially with Triple J, I think...
I feel like you worry that they're all going to hear you.
Yeah. I think, but the thing is with especially Australian bands, like if they're getting an interview on Triple J, you know, they're probably like musos and they're in the scene, so they kind of appreciate that platform to talk about their album or whatever. Sometimes you get internationals coming in, they might not really understand, you know, how many music lovers listen to that station, so then they don't take it as seriously. But, you know, I remember there was once a question and we threw out and we asked what the album was about, and they were like, well, that's up to you to tell us. You know, you kind of like, yeah, you're
that's
like,
the kind of thing, yeah, that's the kind of thing that I don't want it to bring into Jackie Rose Studio.
That's exactly. And I'm like, I get that, but maybe it's part of your art that you're supposed to make it up yourself, which is, you know, whatever. But yeah, like, I also
really
want
is like, oh, I just wanted you to tell like a funny anecdote, yeah, or yeah, about naming the album.
Yeah, pretty much. Just tell me just some sort of silly tour story or something like that, and then we can get out. Or like sometimes, you know, when you've got a better understanding behind a song, you enjoy it more. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you hear a song and you're like, wow, I just never knew that was
definitely
the meaning
with context,
behind it.
You can hear it completely differently.
And it knocks you sideways. I mean, so one of those examples, like a song we obviously hear a bit more here on Nova, but I think last year at the ARIA's Guy Sebastian's song Choir was like the Apple Song of the Year, which is, yep, I kind of just thought, yeah, that's just, you know, a Guy Sebastian sort of poppy number. But then when you know the story and the context behind it, you're like, oh my God, now I'm listening to the lyrics and going like, this is a completely different vibe to it. It's actually like a really sad, sort of deep song dressed up as, you know, this poppy number that's...
Tell me the story behind Choir. I don't know.
So Choir was... it was written for a friend of Guy Sebastian's who, unfortunately, he suicided, passed away, took his own life. It's sort of a song about him reminiscing on some of the great times they'd had, and now he's basically, you know, up there in heaven singing with the choir. So it's heavy stuff. And if you, mm-hmm, I mean, I'm sure now that you've heard that and you listen back to it and you listen to the whole 3 minutes or whatever, it'll hit harder.
Yeah, right. I'll definitely check it out again.
Yeah.
How do you find now interviewing like the Guy Sebastians of the country rather than like the indie bands that, yeah, you'd interview on Triple J?
I actually love it. Like it's weird because it's just a whole different world, you know. Like the Triple J interviews we did over 3 years, you sort of get the same people, you know, you start getting the same people 1, 2, 3 times, and then, you know, I've actually, yeah, made some name dropping, but you know, you end up making friends with some of those artists as well, which is really cool when you are like, yep, you do start as a really big fan of their music, and then, you know, after you've done 4 or 5 interviews or have to, you know, go to festivals and bring them up on stage and that sort of stuff, you end up getting chummy. But the likes of Guy Sebastian, you know, Ricky Lee, who we had on this week, they just you know, that's a bit sacrilegious to even mention their names around Triple J, unfortunately. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's a reason why they are where they are, and they've been in the media industry for, you know, 15-odd years. Like, you know, Guy Sebastian's, like, never not on. Like, he's pretty much, yeah, been on TV and radio solidly since 2003, and they know what they're doing.
And did you ever feel like in your time at Triple J you could make or break bands? Well, probably not break them, but, like,
yeah,
did you feel like you had the potential to go, hey, I could find or discover the next big Australian band?
No. Short answer, nah. No, the thing is, especially at Triple J, there's a real system there. You've got this awesome team of 6 people who are literally listening to every single song uploaded onto the website Triple J on Earth. That's where I always tell people, put your music there. These guys actually do, you know, actually have to listen to all the songs, yep, all the way through. That's their job. So a lot of people get discovered through that. And then there's...
So when you say you mention, you always tell people that's where to put your music, is that because you had a series of people coming up to, yeah, you saying, hey, put my band on Triple J?
Yeah, yeah, big time. And so I'm not Richard Kingswell, man. I can't. I don't have that power. But I enjoy going to gigs. I like what I like. I consider myself a music fan, but... You know, I wasn't hanging back for the music meetings and going, right, guys, let's get the whiteboard up. You know, what are we dropping? What are we bringing in? You know, I feel like we need, yeah, this fresh sound and, you know, we need to give more attention to this. But, there, you know, there are a lot of people who are absolutely obsessed with that sort of world. So did you ever get any songs up on Triple J? And, you know, you were in a band back in the day.
No, we didn't. We don't even have the band I was in high school. Don't even have any official recordings.
Oh, really?
We played. Yeah, let's do. Actually, I know you're in a high school band as well. So let's do a bit of comparison. High school band, high school band. I'll tell you about mine. You tell me about
yours. Okay. All right.
We were called Last Chance. We played two gigs at the Kew High School Renaissance Theatre, which was the theatre attached to our school. Both gigs, they made us play before they opened the doors because they wanted a band to play as people were walking in. So we had to start our sets to an empty room.
True, they do that at festivals too, you know. That, like, if you win the opening spot at Splendor, you've got to start. Like, the band has to be playing before they open the gates of the festival.
I tell you, there's nothing as humbling as going on stage and going, all right, fellas, one, two, three, four. Looking at absolutely nobody. And then even more awkward, as the first two heads come around the door, getting like, do I make eye contact with them or do I keep the gaze up the front as if there's people in the audience, or do I give them a nod and a wink? Hey, welcome to the show. We're midway through the second song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we never made an official recording. We had two original songs.
What were they called?
The original songs?
Yeah.
One was an anti-George Bush song called Fuck You Bush.
That's wild. Yeah. Wow.
And the other song was untitled. So, and even didn't have lyrics in the verse. And when we played it live, I would sing fast gibberish to make it sound like they were, you know, like it was a punk band.
Like real thrash.
Everybody in the room, every guy, like, and then you're going to go. Just enough to get me to the chorus, which did have words.
Oh, and they go, wow, man, these guys are faster than Frenzel. This is tight. This is sick. I suppose you could always, I mean, if you ever wanted to get the guys back together, you could just change the Bush lyric to Trump and make it a bit more relevant. And, you know.
Fuck you, Trump would work just as well. They'd
probably have some cut through. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me about Love Saber. That was your high school band, right?
Love Saber. That was something that I was really hoping to suppress. But I always knew it was lurking. Like, I seriously was suppressing it because that was just sort of before Ben and I met. So, but, you know, a lot of your past comes up later on down the track. And sometimes, you know, you're so focused on the current things sort of happening on the show and the stories and segments and whatnot that you kind of forget to look back at the embarrassing stuff from years back.
And that's all. Honestly, dude, that's the gold.
I know, like, right? I know.
That's the gold.
I do think that now, like, even now I have to train myself to be like, oh no, that, like, you know, your pain is comedy sometimes. Like, I was telling this story this
Not
morning.
Sometimes, all the time.
All the time. I was telling this story this morning that I did these, like, we had holidays maybe, like, I don't know, a couple of months back, and it was just when Ben and I had shaved our heads. We did this barbershop roulette thing, and he had to get a George Costanza haircut. I had to get a 2002 World Cup Ronaldo. And after that, we ended up shaving our heads, like, completely. So I was a skinhead for the first time in my life. And, you know, I'm a big fan of English football, and I love the film Green Street Hooligans. So I did, like, a series of videos of, like, kind of recreating scenes from the movies. And because I'm a bit of a dad on TikTok, but I like that feature where you can film yourself and then you can superimpose yourself in the same shot
into
as yourself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So when they were all edited together, quite tight, quite nice. But what I'd been doing on TikTok, I had this private account and I had to, like, get a video of me with my shirt off, like, fighting thin air, and then another video of me with a jacket on fighting on the other side, and then, you know, it stitched together nicely. And I hadn't actually checked the app since, I don't know, April. Yesterday, I looked on it and I was, like, horrified. I was like, oh, my God. There was, like, 50 sort of uncut raw videos of me turning the camera on, walking back, trying to get myself in the right position. And it wasn't on private, and there was, like, hundreds of comments, like, dude, oh, things have gone downhill since Triple J.
God, that is the
and, like,
worst.
Yeah, I was like,
people seen the behind the scenes or something like that.
I know, and I was so embarrassed. I was, like, so embarrassed. I read some of the comments, and I couldn't, and I just started, like, rapidly deleting the posts. And then it was only until, like, an hour after I thought, like, man, like, that, if I just, you know, screen recorded and just, or kept the videos, or if there was a scroll on Instagram, you know, on the Ben and Liam Instagram of, like, all the off cuts and what people were saying, like, damn, I was like, I don't know, I was needed to delete them then and there. They've been sitting there for months just cooking away. I had followers on this random account called Crumbin Chris, which I just literally, like, made just so I could use that feature on TikTok.
Yeah, honestly, what I've learned from Chris O'Connell, who I broadcast with now, is like all those insecurities and all the things that you get embarrassed by and you think, well, no one can find out about this, is always the gold mine, and they're always a rich vein of content.
He seems like the Don O'Connell. How long's he been doing radio for?
A little bit. He's been doing it for 23 years, I think.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, I've learned so much from him. He's awesome, and he's a great mentor as well. But I feel like you didn't tell me about the band.
Well, that's – notice I ducked and weaved it again, but thanks for bringing it up again, Jack. So I was in this band called Love Saber, and we were a kind of a glam rock band. I was very into glam rock when I was about, 16, 17. And, I was the lead singer, and we only ever did one gig. We did three covers. Sweet Child of Mine was one of them, Bohemian Rhapsody and TNT, AC/DC. And
you went for some of the classics,
though.
Yeah,
went for heavy hitters. First and only time I've sung on stage. It was kind of like the muck-up day, like last sort of day at school. And I came in on a donkey on office chair wheels that they had built for the nativity scene. And I got some year six students to roll me in on that. And there was just like a smoke machine. And I was dressed up in a feather boa with a sparkly leotard that I'd stolen from the ballet department. Didn't have a lot of confidence. Didn't have a lot of confidence back then.
No, the footage I've seen begs to differ. I think you should mention as well, because you painted that picture so perfectly, except for that you didn't say that it was on a hill outdoors.
It was on a hill outdoors.
That made it sound like it was in a big theatre and there were smoke machines and stuff.
It was on a grassy knoll outside, on an oval.
Yes, it was on a grassy knoll.
And the performance was woeful. And then we also recorded, more embarrassingly, we recorded a song called Saber Attack, which I pretended to not have anything to do with, but I had quite a bit to do with that.
But then this isn't an, please don't take this the wrong way. Mm. This song is meant to be a joke, right?
How dare you? How dare you? No, yeah, I think a bit of tongue-in-cheek. We were just having
fun. That's such a risky question.
This interview is over. And I must admit, when I knew Ben was going to play, I was mortified. But then, when you could see how much people were just enjoying it. People like watching people squirm.
Are you already, are you still rocking the mustache as well?
No, I'm actually not at the moment. Weirdly, a guy from work said, hey, I got a call from the marketing guy in Sydney, and he's asked if you could consider growing the mustache back, because we've got another campaign, like a billboard campaign running in September. So they might actually have to Photoshop the mustache out if you don't grow it back. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. Like,
they've taken the photos.
The photos have been taken.
When you had the moustache.
Yep. Yeah.
And now they're worried that the new you doesn't look like the guy on the billboard.
Yeah, pretty much. So they were asking if I'd grow it back or they'll have to Photoshop it out. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't really want to grow it back, but can I at least sign off on it before? Like, I want to see the Photoshop.
You don't want the work experience kid. Photoshopping
just
it.
Just going, look at this guy's freaking lip. Or like, just this big, bulbous Jagger sort of top lip. So, hopefully that doesn't end up a disaster.
And what's it like being on, on Triple J, they don't advertise, like you don't get billboards and bus shelters and that sort of thing, do you? So, what's it like seeing your face around town?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was cool for the first few weeks, but then you kind of get over it. Like, I bus it every day. I still bus home from work. So, a lot of the times I get in the bus
I'm
on.
You bus home?
Yeah, I bus home, yeah.
Dude, stop spending your money on Beatles.
I don't have a car. I actually don't have a car. So I bus home, and sometimes I get on the bus, which we were on, and still no one recognises me. I don't know. Maybe that's why I need to get the moustache back. Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
And, I couldn't believe you said yesterday, as we were organising this interview, that you'd still be at the radio station at 1 o'clock to do this interview. And then you said, usually most days you're there till 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Outstanding work ethic.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's sort of always, we're actually having this conversation today. I said that to Ben because I said, oh, man, I think Jack's doing it better, man. I think they leave earlier and then they message each other later at night. But to be honest, I think we've always sort of worked a bit later at the starts because we couldn't get our shit together, really. We just needed to sort of plan the show. And then...
Yeah, and like, that's when you're learning and stuff. Well, that's it. Like old hands at it now.
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, that's the thing. And the days haven't got any shorter. But I think, yeah, I don't know. We're super passionate about what we're sort of building. And
I'm just... As someone who's in the same job, I'm interested, like, what time do you wake up? What time do you get in?
Yeah, so...
You don't catch a bus in, do you?
No, so I make Nova pay for an Uber on the way in.
Yeah.
I wake up at 4:20, blaze it, and then I'm pretty much in the Uber by 4:40. I live really close to the station. I get in.
It's Adelaide, man.
It's Adelaide.
There's not a lot of places.
Everyone's close, which I also am loving. And then, get into work at 5, and then we're on air at 6, and then, prep after. And sort of here till around 3. But, you know, I mean, this is kind of the only job I've ever really had. We've been doing, like, breakfast full-time in one way or another since sort of halfway through 2014. So that was, you know, I was sort of just out of school after that and sort of rolled into this life.
That's
so
why
I'm just
PM
used
to knockoff time because that's when the school bell used to ring.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and we also still have tiny teddies at around 10:30. Yeah, I know. I am still a school kid. I've never clicked on that before.
But I guess we're pretty much coming to the end of it anyway. I've kept you longer than I said I would. So, Liam, thank you so much for being on Jackie Road Studios.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to say before you go?
I mean, now that you've mentioned it, I mean, after the Jackie Road Studios podcast is finished, subscribe to the Ben and Liam one. How does that sound?
That sounds good. There's no reason. I'm not trying to play favorites of why I got you on the show and I didn't get Ben on. I have just had a bit of correspondence with you on Instagram.
Yes,
so
yes.
I knew that you knew who I was.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's
we both
the only
know.
Reason I chose Liam and not Ben.
He got this letter yesterday from the South Australian government being like, hey, we're looking for young movers and shakers to throw some ideas. Like, what does the city need? And they invited
what
him
do you
to
mean?
Some sort
like,
of
well, nation building stuff.
Yeah. And they invited him to some sort of cool dinner. And I was like, cool. And I was just looking around my desk. Where's my envelope? I'm just Ben. Just Ben.
Is it got both our
and,
names on that?
Oh, God. He was lording it over me all day. And then this morning I came in and I was like, just had Jack Post on the phone last night. Going to be on the podcast later today.
That's awesome. So what's he going to do? I'm intrigued. I wish I had him on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Well, you might have to get him on when he's the premier of South Australia in 12 months' time.
All right, man. Thank you so much for doing this and hooking up with me from Adelaide into Jackie Road Studios.
No worries. Absolute pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. I am the Eggman.
Liam Stapledon on Jackie Road Studios. It's time for this week's Talking Points.
Talking Points, oh, what are you talking points?
This week on the show, I want to celebrate high school bands. Last Chance was the name of my band. Love Saber was the name of Liam's high school band. So let me know, were you in a high school band? What were you called? What was your onstage gimmicks? Did you have any original songs? What were they about? Tell me anything you think I'd like to know about your high school band. JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com. This week, we're celebrating high school bands. Also, because it was so popular from the back of Maddie's episode, I'm still looking for little bits in songs that you really fell in love with. I've got a bunch more tracks to play from emails in next week's Making Of episode. So if you have those little bits in songs, it doesn't have to be the hook of the song. It's not the chorus of the song. It's not the big part of the song. It's just little bits that you love and you anticipate as soon as you hear the song coming on. Let me know at JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com. There, this week's talking points. Of course, how to win the Yamaha will be announced next week, but it will be something to do with contributing to the show and emailing the show. And thank you to everybody who's done so already. Without the Yamaha cheese dangling, and now watch all the other rats come in gnawing at the cheese, the Yamaha cheese. Ooh, yum, 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 yum. Sorry. I'm going crazy. Sorry about that. Where were we? Yes, this week's song. Now, I went through a few stages with this week's song. I started actually writing a song about John Lennon and Paul McCartney playing FIFA together in the 70s, but I landed on this idea. I was telling Liam about how I had a nose surgery a couple of weeks ago. The doctor asked me if I was comfortable waking up from the surgery and I might have a different sounding voice. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it does happen to some people where their voice sounds different after the surgery. He asked me, was I comfortable with that? And I said, yes. And then I asked him with complete earnest and hope in my voice, will it change my singing voice? That's where this week's song started. I had a lot of fun making it. It's called My New Voice. This is Jackie Road Studios.
The doctor's looking back at me with concern on his face. I just asked him if he could make my voice change. Is there any operation in modern medicine to help the way I sing? I'll do anything. He slowly closed the door, made sure no one was listening. He said, are you interested in a science that's untested? A procedure I'm working on to make singers better at singing songs. But we must act fast before I knew. Working away on my new voice. He promised me immediately after the surgery I'd sing like no one's ever sung before. I worked many hours later, took off my respirator, looked up at the doctor. Did it all go well? He helped me to my feet, said there's only one way to tell. He said, try it out. And I said, oh, yo, 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 this is my new voice. Oh, I love my new voice. Oh, ro, 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 this is my new voice.